lost on a rising sea of sensation. Before I can fully grasp what's happening, I'm flipped onto my back as Brayden looms over me. He's propped up on his elbows, so the full weight of his body doesn't rest on me as his mouth roves hungrily over mine. Every last thought of doing what's right vanishes as arousal bursts to life in my core. It licks like fire over every misgiving that has taken up residence inside me. If I'm being completely honest, there's a tiny part that's grateful for his hunger, for his forcefulness. It allows me to ignore everything that has been gnawing at me for the last couple of hours. And really, is there any harm to giving in? What I need more than anything is to feel Brayden's touch one last time before I reveal the truth and our relationship is forever changed. I find myself capitulating as my mouth meets his greedy one. My arms rise until my fingers can tangle in his thick hair and hold him close. There's a desperateness to my movements. I want to hang on to Brayden forever, even though I realize that it's impossible. It's doubtful that we'll make it through the weekend intact. I understand this, even if he does not. Instead of fucking me furiously, which is how our sex can be, Brayden slows things down. His kisses become more languid, as if we have all the time in the world to explore. He angles his head one way before tilting it the other. He licks at my mouth, peppering caresses along my chin and throat before sinking lower to my breast. One crested nipple gets drawn into the warmth of his mouth before he showers the same amount of attention on the other. I arch my back, wanting to be as physically close to him as possible. I can't help but already mourn this relationship. No matter how this plays out, nothing will be the same between us. Brayden will never look at me as he does now. And that realization floods me with bitterness. Unaware of the thoughts that are circling through my head, he caresses his way from my ribcage to my belly before settling between my thighs. He presses a kiss against the top of my slit before tonguing my pussy. A whimper escapes from me as I widen my legs. Nothing feels as amazing as his face buried between my thighs. I wish it were possible to live in this moment, this space, forever. But it's not. At some point, reality will crash down on both of our heads. As soon as those thoughts attempt to take root inside my brain, I shove them away. If this is the last time we'll be together, I want to enjoy it to the fullest. He licks at me, teasing my flesh until I'm arching against his mouth. It doesn't take much before I'm splintering apart beneath his clever tongue. As I fall back to earth, he presses a tender kiss against me before crawling up my limp form. With one swift movement, he yanks the boxers down his hips and thighs before kicking off the material until he's as naked as I am. Our gazes lock and hold as he slides deep inside my heat. Unlike this morning, there's no teasing or games. He cages me in with his arms as my legs wrap around his waist, securing his body to mine until we are one. There is an intensity that fills his dark eyes as they stay trained on mine. So much emotion is conveyed in that one look. Even though I came only moments ago, I feel the stirrings of an orgasm deep in my core. Except this time, there's something different about it. It's almost as if our connection has been strengthened. A powerful emotion that refuses to be denied. As Brayden thrusts inside me, our bodies fall into a natural rhythm. His fingers find mine before lacing them together. it would be impossible for us to be more attuned with each other, physically, mentally, emotionally. I've never felt this kind of bond with anyone else. It's as if we are truly one. When my body convulses again, Brayden dives headfirst over the edge with me, holding my gaze the entire time before collapsing. His harsh and labored breath echoes in my ear until it's the only sound I'm cognizant of. That and the heavy weight pinning me to the mattress are what ground me in the moment. Otherwise, I would float away into the atmosphere.
Sydney.
It takes every effort to blink back to awareness. His gaze searches mine before he whispers,
I love you.
My heart twists painfully beneath my breast. Instead of echoing the sentiment, I keep the words trapped deep inside where they can't inflict further damage. How can I share what I truly feel when I haven't been honest with him? Sorrow and regret churn through me, threatening to swallow me whole as I bury my face against his chest and wish, for what feels like the 100th time, that everything could be different between us.
Chapter 34, Brayden. I scoop up a pair of boxers from the floor and toss them into my bag before glancing around the bedroom to make sure I've got everything. Even though it's still early, we're packing up and getting ready to head back to Western. The past 36 hours sped by way too quickly. It's like I blinked and it was time to go. I wish we could stay at the cabin for a couple more days, but that's not possible. We both have school and athletic commitments that can't be missed. My gaze flits to Sydney. She's standing on the other side of the bed, gathering up her belongings. She's been unusually quiet since we woke up this morning. I'm not sure if it's because, like me, she wishes it were possible to keep the real world at bay for a bit longer, or if there's something else going on. Uncertainty mushrooms up inside me as I draw one side of my lip between my teeth and chew on it. Is she quiet because I blurted out my feelings last night? Did the declaration make her uncomfortable? It's just that the moment had felt so right, and the words had been circling in the back of my mind, clawing at me, fighting to break free. Maybe I should have beaten back the urge and given it more time, but that hadn't been possible. The sex had been different last night. Instead of a means for physical release, it felt deeper and more profound. The funny thing is that I'd thought Sydney had been with me every step of the way and experienced it too. Afterward, she'd clung to me before falling asleep wrapped up in my arms. I'd woken up this morning with the urge to make love to her one last time before we hit the road, but the sheets beside me had been empty, already cool from her absence. I'd found her sitting in the kitchen, staring out the window. Her aloof behavior takes me back to how it was before we decided there was nothing fake about this relationship. Something has shifted, and I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to damn well find out. After the closeness we shared last night, this conversation feels awkward. Is everything all right? When Sydney glances up, skewering me with her bright green gaze, I tack on, You seem off. That's a major understatement, but I'm not sure what else to say. She shifts her weight from one foot to the other before breaking eye contact, dropping it to the bed. If I needed further confirmation that something isn't right, I have it. What's strange is that Sydney has always been a straight shooter. It's one of her personality traits that I admire most. If there's something going on in her head, she'll tell you about it, whether you want to know or not. So why isn't she doing that now? Why is she holding back? A long silence ensues, and the muscles in my gut twist into a series of complicated knots. Emotion flickers across her face, and everything inside me sinks. Sydney? If I hadn't realized it before, I do now. Blurting out my feelings last night had been an epic mistake. She wasn't ready to hear them. All I've done is push her away when I only wanted to hold her close. Uncertain how to rectify the situation, I plow my fingers through my hair. I'm sorry about springing my feelings on you, I mumble, feeling like an ass. I know we haven't been together that long. I jerk my shoulders, unsure how to explain without fucking things up any further than they already are. How do I convey that nothing feels more right in my life than she does, than we do? Maybe it was too much too soon. Here's a bit of irony. I've never told anyone except for my parents that I love them. I've never dated anyone long enough to develop strong emotions. Or maybe I didn't allow myself to go there for whatever reason. And now that I have, she wasn't ready to hear it. Hell, if a girl told me that she loved me, I'd run for the hills. That's exactly what Kira did, and it freaked me out. I mean, come on, we weren't even going out. That girl didn't love me. How could she possibly when she didn't even know the real me? But Sydney does. She understands me better than anyone else. I've shared stuff with her that I've always held deep inside. Her fingers freeze on the shirt she's holding. Her eyes stay lowered, pinned to the duffel she's in the process of packing. Is this really what it's come to? She can't meet my gaze or give me a straight-up answer? What's going on? My fingers flex with the need to wrap around her. The scary part is that I can feel her slipping away, and I have no idea how to stop it. Before I realize it, I'm on the move, stalking around the queen-sized bed and pulling her into my arms. You need to tell me what the problem is. How else can we fix it? When she refuses to look me in the eyes, I grab hold of her chin and lift it so that she has no other choice but to meet the intensity of my gaze. A strange mixture of guilt and grief flash across her face. Nothing about this conversation, if that's what you want to call it, makes sense. All I know is that my insides are being eaten alive by nerves. Talk to me, I plead. Why won't she tell me what's going on? What the hell could be so wrong? Sydney sucks in a long, shuddering breath, holding it captive inside her lungs, before forcing it back into the atmosphere. This isn't working. I blink. What? Her tongue darts out nervously to moisten her lips before she whispers, This isn't working, Brayden. Those four words are enough to make my heart skip a painful beat before jackhammering into overdrive against my ribcage. What's not working? Wait a minute. My mouth drops open. Are you saying that the two of us together isn't going to work? I can only stare in shock. You want to break up? When her gaze darts away and she remains silent, I growl, Sydney! Her eyes widen before snapping back to mine. Yes, I do. I shake my head as if to clear it, but it doesn't help. No matter what I was expecting her to say, this wasn't it, not by a long shot. I don't understand why. It's just... When her voice dies a slow death, I'm left hanging. Or maybe I'm in free fall. I have no idea. This conversation doesn't feel real. It's just what, Sid? Tell me what the hell is going on here, because I don't understand any of it. I thought everything was good. I thought we were good. Tears spring to her eyes, making them appear even more vibrant than usual as she presses her lips together until they drain of color. Why won't she give me an answer? Tension fills my shoulders. Is this because of what I said last night? Is our relationship moving too fast for you? I gulp down the growing desperation that clogs my throat, making it impossible to breathe. When Sydney remains silent, I start to babble. I can't stop myself. If that's the case, then we can slow track it. I'm sorry, I thought we were both on the same page. It had sure felt like it last night. Hell, this entire weekend. You know what? This entire damn relationship. Even when we were fake dating, it still felt like we were moving at the same pace. In the same direction even when we didn't understand what direction that was. It's a real kick in the ass to realize that I couldn't be further off base. Her continued silence is killing me. You've got to give me some answers here, Sid. I don't want to keep playing this guessing game with you. There's a long pause before she murmurs, I don't feel the same way. The acidic taste of bile rises up in my throat. The pounding of my heartbeat fills my ears until it sounds like the roar of the ocean, making it impossible to think straight. You don't think you'll ever feel that way? It takes effort to force out the rest. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Her fingers tighten, biting into the fabric clutched in her hands.
Please, Brayden, she whispers. Do we have to do this now?
Is she fucking serious? Yeah, we're doing it, I grit between clenched teeth. I deserve answers. I need something concrete that I can wrap my brain around that will make sense, because right now, absolutely nothing does. She breaks free of my hold before taking a step in retreat. The distance isn't just physical. It's emotional as well.
I wish I could give you more, but I can't. This relationship isn't going to work out in the long run. I'm really sorry. I can't force feelings that aren't there to begin with.
It takes everything I have inside to remain upright when all I want to do is double over from the excruciating pain licking its way through my body. It's like I've been kicked in the balls and can't catch my breath. Actually, it's much worse than that. Force feelings? She's been forcing feelings the entire time? What the fuck? Anger crashes through me. I don't know what's going on here or why Sydney is acting like this, but that's total bullshit. The emotions unfolding between us weren't in my imagination, and it sure as shit wasn't one-sided either. She felt it. It's on the tip of my tongue to argue, but I can already tell that I won't get anywhere with her. She's shut down and closed off. As much as I hate to leave the conversation, not to mention our relationship, in this uncomfortable limbo, there's no other choice for the time being. I jerk my head into a tight nod. All right. The relief that floods into her face is yet another kick in the ass.
Chapter 35. Sydney. As soon as I pull my bag from the back seat of Brayden's truck, he says goodbye in a clipped tone and pulls away. I can't blame him for being angry. I totally blindsided him. The look in his eyes when I told him that I didn't feel the same way was so much more brutal than I anticipated. As soon as I forced out the words, I wanted to fall to the floor and beg his forgiveness, to confess the real reason for the unexpected shift in my behavior. But how could I do that? After we made love, because that's exactly what it had been, I'd laid awake for hours, trying to figure out what to do. How could I possibly tell him that it was my brother who killed his father in the accident? I slipped out of bed at dawn, padded into the living room, and stared out at the lake, trying to figure out a way to word my explanation so he wouldn't end up despising me. In none of the scenarios did it end with us being friends, much less staying together and carrying on with our relationship. How could he forgive me? How could he not look at me differently after discovering the truth? No. Even if Brayden somehow attempted to make peace with the situation, he would still end up resenting me. If the scenario were reversed, wouldn't I feel the same? It's much better to cut things off now and keep the truth buried where it can't hurt either one of us. Maybe Brayden will hate me for a little while, but he'll eventually get over it. Come on, this is Brayden Kendricks we're talking about. I've never seen him lose sleep over a female, and my guess is that I won't be the exception that breaks the rule. In a few weeks, he'll be back to his old ways, screwing groupies and soaking up all the fan adoration. I'll end up being nothing more than a blip on his radar. Me, on the other hand, it's going to take time to get over the loss of him. I never expected Brayden to claw his way inside my heart. That's exactly what he's managed to do in the short amount of time we've been together. I might have been with Ethan for 6 months, but my feelings for Brayden are infinitely deeper. It doesn't necessarily make sense, but that doesn't change the way I feel. With a sinking heart, I watch his black truck disappear from the parking lot and down the road before I turn toward the building. The entire way up the elevator, uncertainty claws at me. Did I make the right decision in setting him free? I try to imagine the hatred that would grow in his eyes if he ever discovered the truth. This morning was bad enough. I don't think I could bear for that to happen. With a heavy heart, I shove my key in the lock before pushing open the door to our apartment. Demi's head pops up from the back of the couch. Hey girl, you're back early. Did you have a nice mini vacay? Before I can answer, she chirps. Tell me all about it. I've got about 10 minutes before I have to take off for my first class. As much as I want to keep this all to myself, there's no point in prolonging the inevitable. Demi will hear about it eventually. Better to get it over with now and move on. I clear my throat and attempt to keep my voice devoid of emotion. Actually, we broke up. She jerks to attention and stares at me for a long heartbeat before searching my face as if she expects me to burst out with a, "Just kidding." When I remain silent, she whispers, "Are you serious?" I inhale a deep breath and battle back a heavy wave of emotion as it crashes over me, threatening to suck me under. Yep. It's a struggle to keep the thin waver from invading my voice. Brows furrowed, she shakes her head, as if she's at a total loss for words. Demi might not be as outspoken as I am, but she's rarely shocked into silence. I press my lips together before forcing myself to repeat the lie I had told Brayden. In the end, it just wasn't going to work out. Oh. Confusion flickers across her expression. I thought you really liked him. You seemed so happy and got along so well. Yeah, well, I shrug. When the backs of my eyes begin to burn, I realize that I'm precariously close to falling apart. That's the last thing I want to happen. Demi is my best friend, and I can tell her anything. Even if she doesn't necessarily agree with my decision, she'll stand by my side, because that's the kind of ride or die she is. But I don't want to reveal the truth about Peter. She understands that he died in a car accident, but doesn't know the entire story. Only the bits and pieces I've chosen to share. Even though I didn't go far away to college, it was a relief to leave the claustrophobic halls of high school behind and start over with people who didn't know who I was or the tragedy that had occurred. After the accident, there had been a lot of pitying looks, mingled with accusatory ones, aimed in my direction. Kids I'd known since grade school whispered behind my back, gossiping about how my older brother had been out drinking with friends and had gotten behind the wheel of his car. He'd killed himself and taken an innocent man with him. Not only did we have to work our way through the grief and loss, but we had to reconcile ourselves with the disastrous decision he'd made. One that not only altered our family, but someone else's as well. There is no way to wrap that up with a pretty bow. Do you want to talk about it? Demi asks gently, cutting into the chaotic whirl of my thoughts. I shake my head. Talking about this situation won't change the outcome. That, at the very least, is the truth. When Demi opens her mouth in protest, I raise my hand and cut her off. I'm sorry. I need to change and get ready for class. Not waiting for a reply, I slip inside my room. Once the door is closed behind me, I lean against it and squeeze my eyes tightly shut. It feels like I'm making the biggest mistake of my life, and there's not a damn thing I can do about it. My relationship with Brayden is yet another casualty of the last decision Peter ever made.
Chapter 36. Brayden. I strip off my practice jersey and pads before shoving them in my locker. One would think that my head would be focused on football. We have a conference rivalry game coming up this weekend. There shouldn't be room for anything else. Certainly not Sydney, or the way she annihilated my heart. I had hoped that with enough time and space, she would eventually come around, but so far, that hasn't happened. When I showed up to class on Wednesday, Sydney refused to look at me, and then slipped out the door before I could track her down for a conversation. A couple hours after that, I broke down and texted her. She opened the message and never bothered with a response. Can you believe that shit? It's been 3 days since I dropped her off outside the apartment. The ride home from the cabin had been brutal. So many thoughts had run through my head as I pored over every minute interaction, trying to pinpoint where it had all gone wrong. It had to be when I declared my feelings. It's the only thing that makes sense. Okay, so she's not there yet. Why axe our entire relationship? Is it possible that she was faking her emotions the entire time? The thought of her doing that is enough to make my gut twist into a painful knot. Or was this entire thing more casual for her? And the way I'd gotten serious freaked her out? I don't know. And that's the problem. A heavy hand lands on my shoulder, forcing me out of the depressing thoughts I've become mired in. It's both a relief and an embarrassment. I don't need people to see that I'm handling this breakup like a little bitch. There has always been a revolving door of girls coming and going for my life. It's never been a big deal. Most of the time, I was the one holding the door open for them to walk through. Sydney has turned out to be the exception to that rule. Concern fills Rowan's eyes. You doing all right? Laughter gurgles up in my throat. Hell no, I'm not all right. Do I look remotely okay? But I'll be damned if I allow those words to escape from my mouth. I jerk my head into a tight nod. Yeah, I'm fine. There's no way I'm going to break down and have a Dr. Phil moment in the locker room. Can you even imagine? Maybe all the guys can crowd around and we can take turns sharing our innermost feelings and expressing ourselves. We can turn it into one of those cheesy counseling videos they force you to watch in high school. Hard pass. Deep down, I feel like enough of a jackass for believing that we ever had something special. Clearly, I was the only idiot thinking long-term. His brows pinch together. My guess is that Rowan doesn't believe me. Can't say I blame him. I've caught a couple of glimpses of myself in the bathroom mirror. I look like shit. My eyes are hollowed out, and there are purple smudges beneath them that make it look like I haven't been sleeping at night because, guess what? I haven't been. Instead of catching some much-needed Z's, I stare sightlessly at the ceiling and rehash every second of the time we spent together, play by play, frame by frame. It's like I'm poring over game film in my head, trying to figure out if I was faked out by a mastermind or if there's something else going on that I have yet to pick up on. Now, what's even more disturbing? I've been stalking Sydney's social media. Not that I've found anything worthwhile. She's been laying low and not posting. Yeah, I've become that guy. It's just another kick in the ass as far as I'm concerned. Have you tried talking to her? He asks. I blink out of the sneaky thoughts that have tangled around me like jungle vines. It's disconcerting how easy it is to get sucked back into the whirl of them. There's no need to elaborate on who the her in question is. We both know. It's a little difficult to do that when she won't respond to my texts. I snap my teeth together, irritated with myself for revealing even that much. It's not like I'm gunning to look like any more of a lovesick pussy than I already do. It's official. I've jackhammered to an all-new low. If there were a way to shake myself out of the stupor I've fallen into, I would do it in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, there's no easy fix. For a brief moment, I'd considered hooking up with one of the groupies who were always hanging around at the house, but the thought of touching another girl turns my stomach. Plus, I don't want to do anything to fuck up our relationship if she changes her mind. Now, if that doesn't solidify my pathetic status, I don't know what will. With nothing else to say on the topic, we lapse into silence before heading to the showers. I do a quick wash and try to concentrate on the game. The moment my mind begins to wander to Sydney, I give myself a quick mental slap and refocus my attention. I need to pull it together by Saturday or I'll be fucked. If I'm not playing to the best of my abilities, Coach will pull me off the field and bench my ass before I can blink. I could feel him scrutinizing me during the scrimmage this afternoon. He knows I'm off. There's no fooling Coach Richards. I pull the towel from around my waist and run it over my face and hair before drying off. As much as it sucks to admit, I've come to terms that Sydney and I aren't going to magically get back together again. Whatever reason she cut and run isn't going to disappear, and there's nothing I can do to reel her back in. That being said, a few answers would be nice. Maybe then I could move on from this place, where I'm constantly spinning my tires. We're fucking grown-ass adults. We should be able to sit down and have a conversation. At the very least, she owes me that much. Once Rowan is dressed, he grabs his athletic bag from the bench and hoists it onto his shoulder. Only then do I realize that it's Thursday night and the women's soccer team has a match. Are you heading to the game? The question tumbles out of my mouth before I can stop it. Guilt flickers in his eyes. If I hadn't asked, he probably wouldn't have mentioned it. I can appreciate that he doesn't want to rub salt into a fresh wound. Rowan is a good friend, one of the best I've made at Western. I have a shit ton of acquaintances, and there are a lot of people who want to hang out with me because of my status on campus. Sometimes it can be difficult to ascertain who actually likes you for the guy you are, and the ones who are there because of your position on the team. It's one of the reasons I've always downplayed who my father is. I saw the way people reacted when I was a kid, and when he coached my football teams, or in high school when he would show up to the games. Since we don't have the same surname, most people at Western don't realize that I'm Jake Winchester's son. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you wanted to go or not. Actually, I say, making a split-second decision, I do. It's probably one I'll end up regretting in the not-so-distant future. His brows rise. Really? I jerk my shoulders. Just because we're not together doesn't mean I shouldn't show up and support her and the team. Rowan nods as he studies me. I'm sure she'll appreciate that. Yeah, well, that's doubtful, but who knows? Maybe afterward we can sit down and finally hash shit out. Chapter 37, Braden. As soon as I walk through the door of my accounting class, I glance around to see if Sydney has beat me here. Nope, she's nowhere to be seen. After the way she evaded me last night, it's not a total surprise, although it does irritate the crap out of me. I don't understand what her deal is. She and Ethan are still on speaking terms, and they went out for half a year. We were together for way less than that, and I'm like a communicable disease she's deathly afraid of contracting. Her behavior doesn't make a damn bit of sense. This isn't the same Sydney I've gotten to know over the last 3 years. That girl is brash and doesn't skulk around, hiding from anyone. And yet, that's exactly what she's doing. It's tempting to confront her and talk about our issues for no other reason than to move past them. I'm constantly searching for her around every bend and corner. There are going to be times when we're forced to come into contact. Our roommates are still going strong without an expiration date in sight. And you know what? Good for them. No, really, good for fucking them. I hope they live happily ever after. They can get hitched and populate the world with little demis and Rowans. I squeeze my eyes shut and pinch the bridge of my nose before inhaling a deep breath. The urge to slam my fist through the wall thrums through me. It takes effort to shake off the fury attempting to take root deep inside. I haven't felt this out of control of my emotions since my father died. That's not a place I want to find myself ever again. My eyes snap open when Dr. Milhouse shuffles around a few papers at the podium before clearing his throat and launching into today's lecture. I take another inconspicuous peek around the room, surprised to find that Sydney is a no-show. Have we seriously reached the point that she'd rather fail a class than be in my general vicinity? A mixture of disbelief and anger crashes over me. It's almost enough to stomp out the hurt flooding through my veins. Even before we dated, fake or otherwise, She didn't go to such great lengths to avoid me. A full 5 minutes tick by before the classroom door creaks open and Sydney slinks into the small lecture hall. There's a pink ball cap pulled low over her eyes, which makes it impossible to get a good look at her face. But still, I know it's her. The moment she stepped inside the room, my body went on high alert, vibrating like a live wire. No matter how much distance she attempts to place between us, the gravitational pull I feel for her refuses to be denied. I don't understand how emotions this strong can be one-sided. Doesn't she feel it as well? Once she's settled as far as she can possibly get from me, Sydney pulls out her laptop and fires it up before staring straight ahead as if she's hanging on to every syllable that comes out of Milhouse's mouth, like it's the most scintillating shit she's ever heard in her life. Let me be perfectly clear. It's not. It's boring as hell. Milhouse is yammering away about something that has to do with decentralized firms. I'd probably understand it better if I were actually paying attention, but that's impossible now that Sydney is here. I keep my gaze trained on her. I'm burning holes into the back of her head. If she can feel the intensity of my stare, she doesn't bother to acknowledge it. It only serves to piss me off even more. By the time our professor wraps up his lecture for the day, I have no idea what was covered, which is problematic considering there will be a quiz next week. Before I can pack up my shit, Sydney bolts from the room like her ass is on fire. If she thinks for one damn minute that she can avoid me for the remainder of our senior year, she has another thing coming. I shove everything in my bag and take off after her. A few people try to capture my attention, but I refuse to make eye contact when they call my name. Instead, I barrel past like a locomotive. Most have enough common sense to stay out of my way instead of taking a chance on getting mowed over. At this point, I don't give a crap about collateral damage. All I care about is reaching Sydney and forcing her to have a conversation. I have no idea what I'm going to say if I actually manage to catch up with her. Guess I'll burn that bridge in a blaze of glory when I get to it. What I do know is that I'm seething inside. I push through the throng of students plodding through the cramped corridor like cattle. I keep my eyes peeled for her pink hat, but don't see it anywhere. Just as my gaze makes a second sweep of the area, I catch sight of her blonde head as she rounds the corner. Her hair is scraped back into a ponytail. The ball cap is now conspicuously absent. Did she take it off in hopes of losing me in the mass of bodies? The thought is almost enough to knock the air from my lungs. Is she seriously that desperate to escape my evil clutches? My hands tighten until the knuckles turn bone white. Instead of backing off, I pick up speed and fly around the corner. The last thing I want to do is lose her. If a few people get shoved in the process, too fucking bad. "Hey," someone grumbles when I knock into them. "Dick," another person shouts at my back. "Watch where you're going." I motor past without apologizing. The exact moment I reach for Sydney's arm is the same one she tosses an apprehensive glance over her shoulder. It's like she can sense my presence the same way I do hers. Her green eyes widen as they lock on mine. "Brayden," she gasps, as if not expecting me to chase her down. "Yep," I bite out grimly, steering her into a dark classroom and slamming the door shut behind us. In the echoing silence of the empty room, the lock clicking into place sounds like a gunshot. She flinches. "What are you doing?" When she attempts to break loose, I release my hold, but stay positioned in front of the exit. I'll be damned if she escapes before we hash this out. As soon as she's free, she cautiously backs away. Her gaze stays pinned to mine as she puts more space between us, making it possible for us to have a private conversation. My gaze searches hers, sifting through the emotions in her eyes. Normally, I know exactly what's going on inside her head. This time is different. No matter how much I probe, I keep coming up empty-handed. Sydney has totally closed herself off. It's like she flipped a switch. I want to know what changed between us. Even though her face turns ashen, she draws herself up to her full height. "There's no need for that. We've already talked about everything that needed to be discussed." Is she joking? That's funny, because I don't feel the same way. I cock a brow. I'm still confused as to why you ended things in the first place. And you won't return my texts or calls. You've been skulking around campus in an attempt to avoid me. I haven't been skulking, she says, lifting her chin in defiance. The hell you have, and I want to know why. I've never known you to be a coward, Sydney. Why are you being one now? Anger cracks through her eyes like a bolt of lightning, banishing the hunted look that had flared to life as soon as she realized I was intent on talking with her. I'm not a coward. Under normal circumstances, I would agree with that statement, but you've been doing a damn good impression of it lately. I've seen you throw down with the best of them and get into fights, and yet here you are, running from me with your tail tucked between your legs. You know what? I really expected better from you. A hot rush of color stings her cheeks as I stalk closer. That's all it takes for fear to flicker across her face as she stumbles in retreat. It doesn't take long for her back to hit the far wall of the classroom. Panic and regret flash in her wide eyes. I don't know if it's directed at me or herself, but I'm damn well going to find out. Sydney flattens against the wall, her fingers curl, clawing at the paint. She's doing everything in her power to avoid my touch, which is fucking hilarious. It wasn't so long ago that she couldn't get enough of it. Of me. My forearms settle on each side of her head, effectively caging her in with my body. I'm so close that she has to crane her neck in order to keep her gaze fastened on mine. When her tongue darts out to moisten her lips, my attention drops to the movement, and a punch of arousal slams into me. I've never been so furious with a girl and still wanted her so desperately. Only now do I realize what a potent concoction those two emotions are. I loom over her until my chest is pressed against her breasts before lowering my face to hers. The scent of her warm breath ghosting over my lips is nothing short of intoxicating. We haven't been this intimate in almost a week. There is nothing I don't miss about this girl. My lips ghost over hers. Not only am I teasing her, but myself as well. It won't take much for my tightly leashed control to snap, and then I'll be lost. No one has ever pushed me the way she does. I want to know why you broke up with me. A whimper breaks free as she attempts to turn her head, except there's nowhere for her to go, no way for her to escape. For the time being, she's trapped and completely at my mercy, and I'll use every weapon in my arsenal to reach her. If I honestly thought Sydney didn't crave my touch, I would back off, but that's not the case. She's anything other than calm, cool, and collected. Her heart is racing, and her breath has picked up its tempo. Even though she's doing her best to lock away the need that courses through her veins, the hunger is visible in her eyes. It's there in the way she shifts against me. I've been with enough girls to know when one desires me, and every physical sign indicates that Sydney wants me just as much as she ever has. So why the hell is she so intent on lying about her feelings and pretending they don't exist? All I want is her honesty. If there's not a future for us, then I'll have no other choice but to pick up the shattered pieces of my heart and move on. I can't force her to love me. But I deserve more. I deserve the truth. Instead of responding, she presses her lips into a tight, thin line. Does she really want to play a game of chicken? That's fine. She might not realize it, but I'm a fucking pro. I press even more into her physical space. I'm close enough for my erection to dig into the softness of her belly. The contact has her pupils dilating. All it takes is one shift of my hips, and the head of my cock is lined up with her core. The only thing standing in the way of me screwing her against the wall are a few thin layers of clothing. It wouldn't take much to yank them out of the way and thrust deep inside the warmth of her body. My lips drift over hers. I want answers, Sydney. We're not walking out of this room until you give me something that makes sense. You want to continue to jack around? Go right ahead. I think we both know how it'll end. She swallows thickly, the delicate column of her neck working furiously. I don't feel the same way as you do. These are the same words that she threw at me at the cabin. They were like a knife to the heart. 4 days later, they still sting, but I'm now able to see past my own pain. I search her gaze and realize there's something going on that she's attempting to conceal from me. I've never been so sure about anything in my life. You're lying. The question is, why? I'm not. She shakes her head. Fear has slammed back into her full force. This isn't working for me. My tongue darts out to trace over her perfect Cupid's bow of a mouth. She tilts her chin upward, as if to grant me better access. Tell me what's not working for you, baby. I'm curious. Arousal floods into her eyes at the endearment. Or maybe it has more to do with the way I roll my hips, thrusting between her legs. Come on, tell me, I push. I refuse to back off until I break her down. It's not something I ever thought I'd have to do. I want to know. When I flex my hips again, a whimper escapes from her parted lips. Misery wars with desire. It's such a strange concoction.
Please, Raiden, she whispers. We can't do this. You have no idea.
Anger crashes through me. You're damn right about that. I don't understand why you're so intent upon keeping us apart. And you know what? I won't allow it. Everything was perfect until this weekend. I don't understand what happened to turn everything to shit. But you're going to tell me. I'm so fucking furious that I can barely hold it in check. Do you understand?
I can't.
The answer that bursts free is nothing more than a choked cry. But it's exactly what I needed to know. There's a method to her madness, and right now, that's exactly what it feels like. Madness. I'm all but consumed by it. Yes, you can. Haven't you realized that you can tell me anything? I drive my erection against her core one last time, deciding to employ a different tactic to elicit the information I'm after. The only way we'll move past this issue is if I crack her open until she has no other choice but to spill the contents she's withholding. But to stand there and to try to tell me she doesn't want me, that she's over this, that she doesn't feel what I do, I'm calling bullshit. And that's exactly what I'm going to prove. Maybe my tactics are a little underhanded and cross a line, but I don't really give a damn. I'll do everything in my power to break through the walls Sydney's resurrected to keep me at a safe distance. This girl is going to realize real quick that all her efforts are for naught. As I pull away, she releases a shaky breath. Sydney might think she's been given a reprieve, but she couldn't be more wrong. The moment air escapes from her lungs, my fingers drift to the waistband of her jeans. With her attention fastened on me, I unsnap the button and lower the zipper. The sound of metal teeth grinding against each other shatters the silence. You want me to stop? God knows that I don't want to. I'm not even sure if I can. The need to touch her thrums through me like an insistent pulse, blinding me to everything else. Her teeth scrape against her lower lip as conflict erupts on her features. That's all the prodding I need to take the decision out of her hands. My fingers skim over the muscles of her belly before delving into her panties. With one smooth motion, I thrust them inside her soft heat. Fuck, but I've missed this more than I realized. A garbled sound escapes from her parted lips as her eyelids lower to half-mast. As reluctant as I am to drag my fingers from her body, I pull them almost all the way out before driving them inside for a second time. Her pupils dilate with pleasure as I repeat the maneuver. If I were a better man, I could resist taunting her. For someone who doesn't want me, you sure are wet. I press closer, nipping at her plump lower lip before growling, soaking wet. Embarrassment stings her cheeks as she rips her gaze away. My fingers settle on her chin before turning it, so she has no other choice but to meet my knowing stare. If I'm going to get you off, you're damn well going to watch me do it. I want you to know exactly who's touching you when you fall apart. Do you understand me, baby? The harsh demand, coupled with the steady rhythm of my fingers driving into her softness, are all it takes to send her careening over the edge. Her orgasm comes on so hard and fast that it racks her body. Even when she tries to fall forward and rest her forehead against my chest, I keep her pinned to the wall until every last shudder has faded. It takes a handful of minutes for her breathing to even out. My fingers are still lodged deep inside her body where they belong. Tell me again that you don't want me. There's a pause. Tell me, I urge. For the first time since she smashed my heart into pieces, I'm hopeful that there's a real possibility of reaching her. How can she stand here and look me in the eye, all the while insisting that she doesn't want me when I've just proven her to be a liar? All I have to do is touch her body, and she shatters. How can she deny it? Or me? You know what? She can't. End of story. With fingers that tremble, she removes my hand before hastily buttoning up her jeans. Sorrow fills her eyes as they flicker toward me.
I'm sorry, Brayden. You need to trust that I'm doing what's right for both of us.
Frustration bubbles up inside me as I realize this little demonstration has changed nothing. We're exactly where we started, and that's back at square one. Unable to release her, I yank Sydney into my arms before wrapping them around her body. For a sliver of a moment, she stiffens before melting against me. It's yet another confusing piece of evidence that doesn't make sense. You have to know that I won't give up without a fight. The disheartened rush of air that escapes from her lips tells me that she does.
Chapter 38, Sydney. Lucas speed walks into the ice cream shop and beelines for the counter to stare at the blackboard of flavors written in colorful chalk. Since they haven't changed from the first time we came here, and my brother never deviates from his favorite, most people would find this behavior odd. I don't, because I realize that it's all part of the ritual. Instead of hurrying him along, I stand at his side and pretend to peruse the menu as well. I'm more of a wild card when it comes to ice cream. One Tuesday, I'm Rocky Road, and the next, I'm Strawberry Chocolate Swirl. It used to drive Lucas a little bit crazy. He likes consistency and routine. When circumstances abruptly change, it can throw him off and agitate him. Although I think he's come to expect this behavior from me, so it no longer bothers him. When Brayden and I were together, Lucas was the one who invited the handsome football player to join us. Even though I wanted him to tag along, I wouldn't have imposed someone on Lucas. At least not so early in our relationship. And Brayden understood that. Just like he understood everything else about my life. A little bubble of grief bursts inside me like an overinflated balloon. I don't think the sorrow will ever go away. Not fully. What transpired on Friday in the classroom after accounting shouldn't have. All it did was give Brayden false hope that it's possible for us to find our way back to each other. In the end, it won't help either of us move on with our lives. After approximately 5 minutes, Lucas places his order for triple chocolate fudge brownie. He'll be a little hyped up afterward, but that's all right, since I'm dropping him off at home for Mom to deal with. The thought brings a smile to my lips. Before each outing, she sits down with Lucas and shows him a menu of all the different flavors he can choose from, none of which have chocolate. It never works. I order pistachio. Once we're handed our cones, Lucas eyeballs mine with disdain. It's green. Yep, I take a lick. Tastes pretty good. I hold out my waffle cone. Wanna try? His face scrunches with disgust. No, it's green and you've already licked it. I shrug and take another swipe with my tongue before pointing toward a booth in the back corner. It's the one we always gravitate to. Once settled, Lucas tells me all about his week. Everything that happened at work, along with the girl he's now in love with. His eyes spark with genuine happiness as he reminisces about how much he enjoyed tossing around the ball with Brayden at the stadium. For him, it was a highlight he won't soon forget. He shifts impatiently on the bench seat.
When can we do that again?
Unsure how to respond, my gaze drops to my ice cream. Even though the answer is never, I'm reluctant to admit it out loud. At least not yet. I'm not sure.
Can Brayden come over and visit?
It's been more than a week since the breakup, and I've been hesitant to mention it to my family. I'm hoping they'll just forget about him or assume our relationship fell by the wayside. It's not like it hasn't happened dozens of times before. My brothers like to joke that I go through guys like most people go through underwear. Another fan favorite is that they both have milk sitting in the fridge that's lasted longer than some of my relationships. Ha ha. Those two are a real comedic duo. They should take their act on the road. It's not that I don't think Lucas will be able to process what a breakup means. I'm more afraid of the blunt questions he'll fire off in an attempt to understand. I was hoping that with enough time, my brother would forget about Brayden. I should have known better. Lucas finds a way to work him into almost every conversation. The thought of telling my parents the real reason we broke up makes me sick to my stomach. There won't be a choice in bringing up the accident. Under normal circumstances, it's something we all go to great lengths to avoid. When we reminisce about Peter, we talk about the good times, not the mistake he made that ended his life. My parents would be heartbroken if they ever discovered Brayden's connection to our family. I'm not sure, Lucas, you know, I say, trying to manufacture a believable excuse. Brayden is really busy with school and football. He doesn't get much time off.
I know, he takes a lick of his cone, but he promised he would visit soon.
My guess is that Lucas is talking about the last time we all had ice cream together. That was a while ago, I point out. He shakes his head as a stubborn light enters his eyes.
No, it was the other day.
Every muscle goes whipcord tight as my head snaps up. What do you mean?
Brayden gave me his number.
Lucas continues to lick his cone before adding like it's no big deal.
Sometimes we text.
His brows pinch together.
He's my friend, too.
Of course he is, I soothe.
I told him that he could meet us for ice cream.
I see cold tendrils of panic tangle around my heart and squeeze until it feels like I can't suck in a full breath. You invited Brayden to have ice cream with us? There's a pause before I add. Tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to see him.
Lucas frowns, unaware of the chocolate smeared around the corners of his mouth. I fumble with my phone before glancing at it. We've been here for at least 15 minutes. It usually takes half an hour for Lucas to finish up before I drop him back off at the house. Normally, I love spending time with my brother. Now, however, I'm an anxious mess. I swivel around and glance at the entrance. No one has come in or out the entire time we've been here. If my luck holds, it'll stay that way. Plus, it's doubtful Brayden was actually planning on making an appearance. This place is totally out of his way, and it's not like we left on the best of terms the other day. I inhale a deep breath in an effort to keep my emotions under control and not hyperventilate. My brother points to my cone.
Your ice cream is dripping.
I grimace, no longer wanting the melty mess in my hand. Any craving I'd had for a frozen treat has vanished. All I can focus on is getting out of here before...
Hey, Lucas, sorry I'm late. I got held up at practice.
Brayden smiles as he slides into the booth next to me. His dark gaze flits to mine.
It's just as friendly as when he was talking to my brother.
Hi.
It takes effort to pace the smile on my face as I carefully inch away from his body. The more physical distance I can place between us, the better off I'll be. I need to keep my wits about me, and that's difficult to do when the scent of his aftershave assaults my senses.
We're almost done with our ice cream, Lucas says by way of greeting.
Yeah, I can see that.
His lips quirk at the corners.
You seem to be enjoying yours.
Are you going to order a cone?
Nah, Brayden shakes his head. Maybe next time.
Next time? I swallow down the nerves steadily rising in my throat.